well, here we are. The weekend is over. It's a Monday. All right, it's kind of a messy Monday. It's not like a real Monday because there's some kind of holiday being partially celebrated. But here we are nevertheless. Todd Feinberg with you and happy to be here. I love these days when, like this, structured like this, where people are out of their routines and, I don't know, it's just weird, different pattern. And it gives people a chance to call who haven't called in a while or don't call, have never called. And it gives us a chance maybe to get some guests on who we don't normally get. Whatever. We are going to have fun. And we're going to start off with Chris Powell, who's got a wonderful new column in the Journal Enquirer. Chris, it's always just such a beautiful thing to see your columns right there in print, in black and white, the truth being told, instead of a lot of cover-up bull dung sucking up to the power structure. So thank you for that.
Oh, it's nice to be read, Todd. Thank you.
So your new column is on free college. Talk to us about free college tuition. What do you think? Good idea, isn't it? Gorgeous idea.
The new president of UConn, Tom Katsoulias, proclaimed the other day that the university was going to eliminate tuition for lower-income students from families earning less than $50,000 a year. And you know, it's a nice idea. What people may not realize is that those kids now are paying only a tiny fraction of the tuition, which I guess is about $13,000.
So of that $13,000 or $14,000 tuition, whatever it is, what percentage are those kids? What is that tiny percentage?
According to the university, most of them are getting enough financial aid to cover most of the tuition costs. So this isn't such a big deal. In fact, I think it's a fair question. It was raised by Lee Elsie in a column in the New London Day the other day as to whether it is better to eliminate the small remaining share of tuition that the poorest students are paying than to reduce tuition for everybody. Tuition is only a fraction of the total cost of attending the University of Connecticut. I guess it's about $14,000 for tuition, but there's another $16,000 in room and board, and that, you know, puts the total cost for a year at UConn for an in-state student above $30,000, which you know, is fairly steep for a state school. And I'm not saying UConn doesn't provide value. I'm just saying that when I went there a million years ago, most of the time I was commuting, it was virtually free for me to go to UConn, which is really a lifetime gift. And when I see kids paying $30,000 now every year, and you know, having to take out loans to do it, I'm a little more sensitive to the need to keep costs down. Generally, the problem I have with the new president here, Katsoulias, is you know, this goal of eliminating tuition for low-income students was just proclaimed really without any consultation with the legislature or the public. It was just announced.
Consultation? What are you expecting? Some kind of democratic principles?
I know it's, you know, at least there ought to be some consultation here. And the Republican leader in the Senate, Len Fasano, I think very rightly complained about that. Fasano, had some resentment that a few months ago the university was pleading poverty. It needed more money from state government because it couldn't afford the fringe benefits that had been promised to its state employees. And so the state government came up with more millions of dollars. And now the university is saying, oh, don't worry, we're not going to raise tuition or other costs to students to finance the elimination of tuition for the poor kids. But it's going to cost us $1 million, and we'll get it by reorganizing our budget. So, you know, a few months ago they were pleading poverty, and now they can find $1 million in their budget.
Well, $1 million is poverty money.
Yeah,
right?
A lot more than $1 million in their budget. But, you know, months ago they were pleading poverty, and now, oh, don't worry where we're going to get this money. We'll
figure
it out. Budget.
Sure. Chris, let's back up a little bit. And you talked about hundreds of years ago when you were an undergrad and how you went to school basically for free. And the costs were incredibly low for state schools. and now they're incredibly high. What happened between then and now?
Well, you know, two things happened, Todd. We really had the ascendance of the government class in Connecticut. Really, the primary objective of government now in Connecticut is to keep its own employees happy. That comes ahead of everything else, and you can prove that because just by asking who gets contracts and who doesn't get contracts. So government employee unions get contracts. People who need government services don't get contracts. The services of the public are discretionary. The obligations of the state to its employees are matters of contracts. So those are the people who really have come first for the last 30 or 40
well,
years.
Well, I think everybody's sure about that. Let me throw another theory at you, though, that the very nature of giving free, having a state school and giving cheap college to members of the citizenship, that is part of the system that you're talking about. It's part of the machinery of feeding the growth of the government class. So the more free tuition that you have, the more free medicine you have, the more free whatever, there's an enormous cost. And
well, of course, and the government takes its cut of all this. And of course, nothing is really free. Somebody's paying, and you know, probably if you don't know who's paying, you're the one paying through, you know, your taxes and other costs there. But, you know, the other problem here, well, let me back up a second. Another reason why UConn is so expensive, it's a lot bigger and it's a lot better than it was when I was there. You know, I think I had some pretty good courses and some pretty shabby facilities back in the '60s and '70s, and now
wait, good courses, bad facilities,
right? And you know, you're right. And the facilities, you know, the shabby classroom didn't make too much difference. Now these days, because you know, higher education is such a big business, UConn has to compete with other colleges around the country. You got to have, you know, shiny dorms and shiny classrooms and shiny gyms. And
well, they think they need to. They think they need to compete on that level. I think it's crazy, and maybe you do too, that they should have found another model. Like, how about we invest in education, go elsewhere for the shiny food courts?
Yeah, well, I might have argued back when I was, you know, having my dinners at the Jungle Cafeteria out at UConn in 1967. The food was absolutely inedible.
And, yes, you know, but didn't you love it? Didn't you just love that you could eat as much as you wanted? They had cheeseburgers every night. Did you have a problem with those hot dogs and beans?
Back then, a banquet was a can of chili on a hot dog.
Exactly. Who cared that the food was gross? It was abundant.
Well, listen, you know, kids today expect something more, and I'm glad the facilities out there are a lot better. But I do think sometimes we lose some perspective. I mean, I do remember the three courses I had out at UConn back then where the campus was fairly shabby in some respects, mm-hmm. and those courses made all the difference to me in my life, and I didn't need shiny things out there.
You needed education, and you got education. We're talking to Chris Powell. His new column is on this very subject. So if we look at this education system, isn't this the problem? If the state's running a school, it decides in absolute privacy, by the way. There is no such thing as transparency with UConn, and they make whatever decision they want because they get an unlimited supply of money from the people.
Well, it's not unlimited, Todd, but UConn long has been allowed to do just about whatever it wants. I mean, the basketball teams conferred that privilege on them, I suppose. Our previous governor, Dan Malloy, let UConn do whatever it wanted to get away with some things that were fairly scandalous, even. They don't account to anybody. The legislature doesn't demand answers from UConn, and I think that really should change. There's important policy that's being made out there. I mean, the new president, Tom Katsoulias, you know, like some of his predecessors, says he wants to turn the place into what he calls a great research university. I have always construed that term to mean a university where the professors don't have to get their hands dirty with teaching. They can go off in their offices and, you know, do this these obscure projects on government grants, and I don't think that should be the emphasis on of the university. I think the emphasis of the university ought to be on what the state needs most, and that is strong higher education teaching for the kids who go there. Teaching, I think, ought to be the emphasis, not not research. But these are big policy issues that the legislature and the governor ought to be claiming some oversight on, and they don't do it.
All right, Chris Powell's with us on WTIC. Hold on a sec, Chris. We'll take a quick break and then finish up on News Talk 1080. WTIC columnist Chris Powell is here. His new column is on UConn and the idea of free tuition for poor kids. All right, so what else do we need to know about this whole issue, Chris?
Well, I think it's a question now as to whether the legislature is ever going to pay any supervisory attention to UConn. I mean, here is a major policy decision that the university purports to be making on its own and without any consultation with the legislature and perhaps not with with the governor. I think one of these years, the legislature ought to be supervising the university, not just to save money, but to have some, you know, thought about where we're going in the state and where the university should be going and whether the university should decide for itself where it's going. I don't think that's a democratic system.
Well, the democratic system in this country seems to be heading in the direction you describe, where government builds these huge ships and then constructs automatic financing mechanisms for those ships to simply go wherever they feel like going. They're trying in these configurations they create to sever the cause and effect of the people running the government and to take away the power of elected officials to run the things that they create.
Yeah, that's really a big problem. The loss of accountability in our system. You know, I'm always complaining about binding arbitration of government employee union contracts in Connecticut. It takes, on the municipal level, it takes 75% of municipal expense out of the ordinary democratic process and hands it to an unelected arbiter who's usually indebted in some way to the unions. I mean, we used to have a system like this in Connecticut hundreds of years ago, where all the major issues of government expense were taken out of the democratic process and decided by somebody who was accountable to nobody. It was called monarchy, and we fought a revolution against it. Now we've replaced it with binding arbitration.
Yes, we have. We have King George back, and I wonder how we overthrow him now. Any thoughts on this?
Well, you've got to have a change in regime, and you've got to have a public that understands what the issues are. Unfortunately, as James Reston wrote a long time ago, the first rule of politics is the indifference of the majority. And until you can mobilize the public and get the public attention and get the public aware of these issues, well, government's going to go out on its own and do what, you know, it damn well pleases. The public has to be mobilized, and I think that's going to require a change in political regime here, and I don't know that it's ever going to happen.
Do you have any sense that there's a movement in that direction in the understanding of the average voter?
Well, you know, I know the Sacred Heart University poll that came out last week that found that Governor Lamont's approval rating was only 24%, you know, which suggests a large amount of dissatisfaction. I mean, I don't think it shows a large awareness
of the cause and effect of that
issues. But yeah, the poll did say that the public was unhappy with the governor's handling of the toll issue and the grocery tax issue. You know, so there's some awareness there, but there's far deeper issues than that. You know, you can't really even get the Republicans to talk about binding arbitration and the giveaways to the government class. I mean, they're aware of them, and if you press them hard enough, they'll acknowledge your points. But to make an opposition party platform in Connecticut, that hasn't been done yet.
Well, that's understandably scary for them to think about campaigning on the idea, because Democrats have done such a good job of creating this monolithic force of those who are insiders and who control elections. And so these election rigging schemes are dominant, and maybe the only way to beat them is to not be honest about what you're going to do. What do you think about that? Is there a way to honestly take that over?
The Republicans are very easily intimidated, not just by the government employee unions, but by really all special interests. But I would advise them, if anybody wanted to listen to me, that you're not getting anywhere this way. You're not getting anywhere by avoiding the issues, and the state is not going to be saved unless somebody sometimes, you know, confronts the issues. So what do you got to lose? You're losing now. Why don't you try to advocate what would be necessary, in your opinion, to change the direction of the state?
And start getting voters used to the idea of hearing it.
Well, yeah, maybe we get a few people thinking, and you know, if they're dissatisfied enough, maybe they'll start listening. But I don't think it will make any difference if we have a change of regime if the regime doesn't change policies. So I don't much care if the Republicans win or lose. What I care is if a new regime gets in and it changes the policies that are driving the state down.
All right, so more important than Republicans' attempts to win elections is that somebody advocate for what needs to happen. And by the Republicans cowering in the corner, afraid to tell the truth, no good thing happens as a result.
Well, look, last week Len Fasano did tell the truth. UConn is going too far here and really is arrogant and unaccountable and, you know, one day at a time.
All right, what was that quote again about the majority?
Oh, it was James Reston of the New York Times wrote years and years ago that the first rule of politics is the indifference of the majority.
Of the majority.
Yeah, well, I would add that, you know, if you want a better public life, you got to get a better public.
All right, Chris. Thank you very much, sir. Good to talk with you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, Chris Powell with another great column in the Journal Inquirer, 860-522-9842. It's Monday. I'm here for real and live and looking to do some talk radio. I've got a bunch of other stuff to run by you. As we continue through the next half hour, we also have Len Suzio joining us next hour and Bob Stefanowski later in the program. And in between, we've got a big chunk of time for us to talk. Some wonderful stuff went on over the weekend in terms of people saying things. And it's great when politicians talk, because when they talk, they make mistakes. That is, the truth is revealed. Some kind of truth is revealed when politicians talk. And that's a very empowering thing for us. And it's an opportunity for us to learn and to see things better. We have to talk about what's going on all the time. We have to keep studying and expressing and repeating the truths that we find, because everybody needs a chance to learn just how corrupt and destructive the government has become. 860-522-9842. We'll get a news update. Then we'll talk on WTIC.